Oh, to be a kid again. Christmas, what excitement, what gifts, and just the joy that it brings, but not for everybody. A lot of people struggle this time of year with loneliness and just not a very good time. And that's too bad. God did come in the form of Jesus. He sent his only son that whoever believes in him will never perish but have eternal life. So I got a couple of verses here to read, and it's from Isaiah 9, verse 2, and then verse 6 and 7. The thing that blows me away about that is Isaiah was around doing this 700 years before Jesus even was born. So God does work in mysterious ways, and I just pray and hope that he'll work in you the same way he works in his believers. And even if you do believe that Jesus died for your sins, I pray that it will take you to another level tonight. So here's Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Darkness is sin. And unfortunately, we live in a world where there's a lot of it. So we need all the help we can get. The light that we get is from Jesus and from his power supply, the Holy Spirit, that once you commit and you not just know that Jesus died for your sins, but you believe it to your very soul, God sends his Holy Spirit as a power supply for that light in you, just like the candles you're holding. And you become a light in a dark world, and you can share that light with other people. And when that happens, great things happen. So here's 6 and 7. And this is, again, 700 and some years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah's prophesizing. He goes, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's armies will make this happen." So again, from Jesus' birth on, it's still going, and it will go until he comes back again. So I just pray, and I will pray that now, that it will take you to another level, and that you'll have a deep personal relationship with God, with Jesus, and because we can't do it alone. We can try to be good as we want, but without his saving grace and his blood and sacrifice, those are the only things that will cleanse us good enough to let us appear before God. So, dear Lord, again, thank you so much for all you've done for us and all you continue to do for us in this dark world. I pray and I just hope that all the people here would come to accept your gift and make it personal and make it their own, that they would come to know you in a very special way, and that your Holy Spirit would descend upon this group, and that they would be changed, and they would be new people, new lives, all living for you. And I just praise and thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. And it's in your precious name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Merry Christmas, church. think we can blow out our candles now. Or maybe I'm really expected only to go 2 minutes here. Probably safer bet to blow out your candles. Well, it's good to see faces of family and friends as you're gathering together to be with each other on a special day, celebrating that God is with us. And what a great reminder to be with each other. Just that feeling of peace and shalom as you're with your loved ones represents that feeling of God with us. I think you'll experience that tonight as you hopefully make it safe through the roads and get to your warm house and settle down. I'm going to start off with a Christmas story of me being with my father. I know at bedtime, he would take me down to look at the lights. And I have memories of the house, which means I was pretty little, because I know what age I was when we moved to that house. But I remember he'd take me down and say, "Why don't you come look at the Christmas lights with me?" He'd hold me and we'd look at the lights. And yet it was never about the lights. It was never about the Christmas tree. It was just being together, right? And now that I'm getting older and becoming more and more like my father, I've been doing the same thing with Hosanna. To get her, look at the twinkling lights and have her hold me and I'll hold her. We're starting to make those memories now at Christmas. This is her second Christmas. I don't know if she remembered her first one very well, so we're excited for her to experience these traditions. Another story I have for you about my dad being together is, again, at that same house, this was now elementary school. I remember coming home one day, and we had a real long driveway. And as I was coming home from school, along the long driveway, which I'd done countless times before, all of a sudden, behind a really big evergreen tree, my dad just came storming out behind the tree and came and picked me up. And I just remember the excitement of that, right? I don't know if he was waiting for me or just happened to be out there, but he thought it'd be fun to just hide behind a Christmas tree and then pop out and surprise me. And I remember that feeling. I remember after that, coming home from school, and guess what I'd think when I look at that Christmas tree, that big evergreen tree? I'd think to myself, I wonder if Dad's behind that today. Right? I think he only did it once, but it was enough that it kept me thinking. Every time I'd come down the driveway, I wonder if Dad's behind that tree, ready to just pop out and give me a thrill. It was fun to have my father chase after me, to come looking for me, to want to be with me. And our Heavenly Father wants to be with us this Christmas Eve. And he went a lot further than crossing a yard to do that. He left a heavenly home to come make his home in a manger, in a pigsty, where it was dark and cold and stinky. Because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. And we see this in Exodus. We've been traveling through Exodus. We got to Mount Sinai this last Sunday. So for those that don't go to church here regularly, we got out of Egypt, went to Mount Sinai, and they met with God. And just a reminder, we're going to look at a couple names of God. There's one in Exodus, and then we're going to look at two names of God from Matthew for today, okay? So the first name of God that we see in Exodus is called Yahweh. We see that in Exodus chapter 3. And Yahweh means I am. I'm present. I'm with you. And in Exodus chapter 3, to borrow from the language there, he says in Exodus 3:7, he says, "I have certainly seen the oppression of my people." He goes on, "I have heard their cries of distress. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come to rescue them." like my dad knew I was coming home from school. God knows where each of us are. He sees the suffering. He sees the distress. And he has decided in his heart, he wants to rescue you. He wants to be with you. He even says that in Exodus 3, verse 12. He says, I will be with you. So now we're going to move on here to Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 23 today. We're going to look at two extra names of God. There's the first one. It says, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. You want to know why Jesus was born? I put it in red right there. To save his people from their sins. And we need that if we want to be with God. We looked last week, the holy reverence we're to have before Almighty God. We need someone to bridge that gap. That is a tall mountain climb to make to meet with God. Yet he has come down, and he has come down through Jesus Christ to make the way. He's offered the sacrifice that's required to make the way. And we're not good enough. We're not good enough. I've been thinking about this in my own life as I reflect. This Christmas Eve, I think about, why would God want to be with me? Why would he leave his heavenly home? I have a cold heart. Sometimes my life's a mess. Why would he want to come be with me? Why would he want to make his home with me? And I hope you share in that sense of mystery with me. Because if there's no mystery to that, you've lost the wonder of the gospel. Why does he want to be with us? Now, if you want to give the Sunday school answer, because he loves us, you're right. But why does he love us? I don't know. I don't know why he loves us. I don't know why he was willing to come in a lowly manger. And not only that, to take his life to Calvary Hill, shed his blood as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. I don't know why he did that. You could say, because he loves us. That's true. But why? I don't know. There's wonder in that. We'll go to the next slide here. Here's another name of God. Not only is it Jesus, but Emmanuel is the name. It says in these next verses, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. God is with us. You know, sometimes I think of my life without Jesus. It's like a home that's marked uninhabitable. The utilities aren't working. The water's not running. The heat's not on. It's cold. Leaks in the roof. And yet God wants to make that his home. He says, I'm going to go fix that up. No matter where you're at, I'm going to live with you. God God is with us this Christmas Eve. And he's with us forever. Matthew 28, at the end of the Great Commission, he says, look, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That presence, he wants to be with us. And we look at Revelation, the last book of the Bible, been reading out of that. The beginning of it, Jesus says, I am the one who was and is to come. Much like the Yahweh of Exodus, his heartbeat through history has never changed. He wants to be with his people. And that's true today on Christmas Eve. He wants to be with his people. Whether you think you deserve it or not, he wants to be with you. Actually, if you realize you don't deserve it, you're even closer to meeting with God. Because he is close with the humble of heart. He is close to the lowly in spirit and the brokenhearted. Let him make his home in you this Christmas. Tomorrow morning, we're going to look at the Shekinah glory of God when he tabernacles with us. It's a glorious thing. It's the way to truly live. And so I invite you, as Revelation 3:20 says, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Who will let me in? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. My friends, he wants to make his home with us. He has traveled further than any relative would ever travel to come visit you. He's come from the throne room of God to visit you. And he stands at the door and knocks on this cold Christmas Eve night. I see many heads nodding because you know in your heart you want to let him in. Open that door. Let him join you for Christmas. Not just today, but tomorrow and the next day and forever. Amen, church? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what great lengths you took, Lord, to be Jesus, the salvation of our souls, and to be Emmanuel, God with us. Lord, soften our hearts to the mystery and beauty of the gospel through Jesus Christ tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Follow that. Well, Scripture does follow that, because after you accept Christ as your Savior, he continues to minister in so many ways. He came as a babe, he humbled himself, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all those things in between, he's God with us. And we want to read another scripture tonight that speaks about, after you've come to know him, just one aspect of what he does for us. Speaking of Jesus, he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Jesus, right now, is in the throne room interceding for us, because although he's come to occupy our home still has broken pipes sometimes. And he is interceding with the Father, saying, I love this. I love this son. I love this daughter. And so he continues to minister to us. Let's pray this morning, or this evening. Lord, we thank you for your continuing gift, the gift that keeps giving. You are still Emmanuel. You are still God with us every day when we fail miserably. Lord, when we fail to worship you. Lord, we praise and thank you for the continual gift. And I just pray that you'd make that very real to us as we celebrate during this Christmas time.